listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who you want to be loving? Who you want to be hugging? Rolling with my niggas that be thugging, bugging in tunnels and SOs, sipping espresso, cappuccino with Nino on a mission for the Lucci Credo. I used to wear Moschino, but every bitch got it. Now I rock colorful minks because my pockets stay knotted.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen. I didn't know she had them bars over there.
Look, you just got to pick the right kind of ratchetness to bring it out of Miss Smart.
I mean, she was laying it down.
I had some Gucci Man queued up the other day, but I wasn't sure which song to pick, so you guys should be familiar with the voice that you guys are hearing on the show today. Because you know she's been on the show quite often. She also has her own podcast, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. But it's our girl Miss Smart. What's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Great. So glad you could be here.
Me too. I love having you on.
I love being here.
Oh, it's a love fest.
I know, right?
It's been a lot of love been going around. You know, and it's fitting. It's the end of the year. 2016 has been somewhat of a dumpster fire, and I think we should be spreading love to each other, you know?
Yeah, we should be. One thing about 2016, it ain't all been bad because we got to actually meet Miss Smart, and that was like the highlight of my year, actually. Like, people just don't realize, like, to meet a lot of y'all in real life, it just gave me joy.
I guess, first of all, how you doing?
I am well. I'm not on camera because I am coming off of a flu. And I was working pretty much up until we just started. So yeah, other than that, I am great. Got some free lunch last dinner today from the folks at Outback for messing up my order. So hey, today's a win.
Hey, ain't nothing better than free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. First of all, I'm sorry to hear that you're under the weather and stuff, and I still appreciate you coming through to do the show.
Me too.
I started coming out with a little bit of a cold, and I just started, I got some damn dope cough and chest congestion right here, because like, we're gonna get to this joint early.
Yeah, respond to shit. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, with all the cough drop, give me some orange juice, some vitamin C.
And then also, I got a free lunch today too, because I accidentally left my wallet at home. So Karen paid for lunch today. So, that officially.
I guess I could say make daddy a sandwich.
I know.
My turn.
You finally paid for something around here.
I know. And I was just joking with the people when I leave. I said, I'm going to leave the bill with him, went down the road and had to come back and pay for the bill.
I know. I feel like I'm Team Lawrence right now. But yeah, we did that, so it was cool. And of course, you know, the Blackout Tips, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, all those places that you find your podcast. Don't leave us no crazy comments, you know, prefer to just be left in peace. You don't need to make up any email addresses. Just let us do our thing and we'll be fine. The official weapon of the show. Did we do this already?
The taser.
All right. The unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
Bullet ball? Oh. Extreme.
You got it.
Like, bullet ball extreme.
Boom.
Right on cue.
And today's show is sponsored. It's actually like double sponsored. Woo! Yeah. So first of all, it's brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate, of course, is a monthly mystery crate filled to the brim with all kinds of goodies for nerds, for your best, from the best and boldest pop culture franchises. And you can go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. Just make sure you order it by the 19th, because after the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, the theme changes to the next month. You got to wait a whole nother month to get your box. But if you order it before then, you'll get your box for this month. And this month's theme is revolution, so I know a lot of you black people out there love revolutions. Support the revolution, right? Isn't that what y'all said when y'all went to see that Nate Parker movie? Come on, guys.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. Make sure you guys do that, because obviously it helps the show out. We're also sponsored by a little bit sexy of a sponsor. And Miss Smart, because you're on Skype, you're probably not gonna be able to hear this music I'm about to play, but okay. When it comes back down, I'll let you know that it's done. All right.
Okay.
All right, so a little bit sexier sponsor. That's right. This podcast is brought to you by Adam and Eve. AdamandEve.com wants to hook you up for a limited time only. They're trying to hook you up with a Christmas present that'll take, you can take half off of it. That's right. 50% off. What do I have to do to get 50% off of just about any item they have in stock? Go to AdamandEve.com and pick out one item. See how simple that was? Go to the checkout. Right, and in the checkout box you want to go ahead and put the letters TBGWT. That gets you 50% off your one item. It also gives you the ability to get 3 free adult DVDs, a free exclusive gift that might be a Power O vibrating ring. I don't know. Shh, don't tell them I told y'all that. Plus free shipping on your entire order. So make sure you guys do that. Go to AdamandEve.com, code TBGWT, 50% off of just about any item. 3 free adult DVDs, plus a free exclusive gift, and to top it off, free shipping on your entire order. And I feel like I can guarantee you that you will not get Wesley Pipes on your DVD, so you will be able to enjoy what you get, guys. No odd comments making you laugh with your penis in your hand or anything weird like that, guys. Just straight up professional pornography. And isn't that what you got in the game for? AdamandEve.com, code TBGWT. All right, let's get into what everybody is coming here to see, guys. Okay, this is a big week. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't have many of these left before the end of the year, so we got to go ahead and get into it. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the games you hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that we sometimes pull out of nowhere just so you have to pay admission to listen to this good ass Walking Dead recap. And because you're going to have to care about black people now. That's right. We score things from 0 to 100, intervals 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, of course, everybody. Cause it's still a Trump's America, y'all.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's talk about this SZA. Oh, everybody's favorite, Charlamagne.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He explained why he felt the need to sit down with Tammy Loren. I'm sorry, Tommy Loren. I keep calling that woman Tammy. Tammy sounds like somebody that like grew up in my grandmama neighborhood. So apparently, you know, Charlamagne also hung out with Tommy Loren, you know, after Trevor Noah, I'm sure, was done. And they took like pictures together and shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course they had the Breakfast Club. So that's a show that he goes on there. And DJ Envy, who doesn't think Stop and Frisk was that bad, and Angela Yee took him to task. To say, hey, what's up with you hanging out with this Tommy woman? What's the reasoning? And of course he said, cause I'm a coon, you know? Oh, I'm sorry. No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry.
I'm about to say, what's
my bad.
Happened?
That was in the art. Okay. That's not what he said. It looks like in quotes, he said, do you want diplomacy or do you want division? I'm talking to Tommy because I care about the rhetoric that comes out of her mouth because she has influence. The narrative she paints about BLM is dangerous. The same way people can hit her up on social media and tell her how wrong she is, I can meet her in person and tell her the same things. I don't like talking about people. I like talking to them. They also said that are y'all friends? And he said that would be an over-exaggeration. But he doesn't believe she's racist. Ain't that powerful? Instead, he believes that the 24-year-old is misinformed. I chose to inform her, he tells his co-host. I chose to inform her. I don't know if she's going to change or not. Just know I did my due diligence and had that conversation with her. And of course, they said if she continues her reckless comments towards black people, what would he say then? And he said, F her. So there you guys go. Y'all up to date. Man, it's like niggas really want to save this white woman so bad, but she don't want to be saved. Mm-mm. She makes a living off of saying ignorant shit about America. Why would she ever stop? And it, to me, it feels like they're just siphoning off of her popularity anyway. I don't truly believe any of them think they can change her mind or she's going to somehow become this force for good or suddenly become educated at 24. I really just think they're like, she's hot on Twitter right now. She's hot on YouTube. Her shit gets more views than my shit. What do I need to do? And I think that extends all the way to The Daily Show, because people still have a mentality of something's on my TV, that means it's a big deal. But the truth of the matter is TV in a lot of cases isn't what TV used to be. Mm-mm. So when you're pulling in 1.3 million ratings for your daily show, for The Daily Show, you can't really decline somebody like Tommy Lauren and her millions of viewers. I bet you they will probably see a ratings boost out of this. Mm-hmm. Trevor Noah already wrote a piece in the New York Times about how we all need to come together and shit. And of course, you know, Trump voters aren't bad and all this stuff. And he sounded just like Jon Stewart would sound, you know, which is why you hired that dude you want the guy, if you're going to have a black face, you still want him to have the same mentality of, you know, it's we're all in this together, guys, you know, that Jon Stewart is promoting right now. So I don't know. I just feel like, they keep trying to say it's about changing her mind and shit, but I don't think it is. I really honestly truly think it's about getting them clicks. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
A 100 for him.
Okay. Miss Smart?
I'm gonna give it 75 only because my expectations of Charlamagne are so low that I'm just gonna keep the other 25 away from him. I just don't want to spare it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say I was like 75, 50, something like that when I saw it. I was just kind of like, yeah, it's par for the course, really. You know? Like, it's really more about the spectacle of it than the actual anything else, you know?
Right, and as soon as she's not hot in the street, they'll be on to whatever else is hot.
I mean, he's a master of capitalizing off the spectacle.
Yeah, he's king of that.
I think after the Dallas police shooting, he hosted the MTV forum on race and shit. And it's like, if we're being honest, that's not his role, really. That's not really his lane. Quite often he's, you know, just out there kind of spewing shit. He's not taking critical race theory or nothing like he's just a guy. But at the same time, he's great at like getting to the center of where the action is and being like, hey, he's around, you know, so you know his name, man. He's good at that shit. And I think this is no different, you know.
I wonder about people like him. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Taheed Epps, you may know him as 2 Chainz, do interviews, and he will slip and become very articulate and stuff. And so he's playing this role as 2 Chainz. I would love to believe that Charlamagne has sense, but he realized that he would never get on the radio and never get a following if he has sense. That's my deepest hope.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he actually does. He's just playing a role, a dangerous role, but playing a role.
Yeah, it feels to me like he just knows. He knows what makes shit like controversial and what makes people needle. Yeah, what makes people talk. So, yeah, with people like that, to me it's almost like they're more dangerous, cuz if they're doing it on purpose, then it's like, you know, it's a pretty scummy way to make a living. Mm-hmm. And if they're doing it by accident, then it's like it's almost more dangerous. It's like, damn, dog, you don't know when you're looking up into something or when you're just talking out your ass, you know. But yeah, he said some real fucked up shit. But as long as people are willing to tune in, I mean, you win in the game. That's the game, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very cynical about this media shit when it comes to like entertainment. A lot of this is just Tommy Lauren moves the needle and gets the clicks. Yes, so we need to find a way into the dealing with her. Let's see what else happened for the schism. Racist people are angry. Because Kellogg donated $1 million to Black Lives Matter. So
did Kellogg give it to him and said they're great?
They might have.
Oh, they did.
They should come out with some chocolate frosted flakes now.
Come on. Some chocolate Rice Krispies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to really make a man put him on a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Breitbart, the media hub of all the evil shit said, basically, we need to boycott them because it's not aligned with their values. So they went to war.
Ain't Kellogg so big? Just about every brand of cereal you buy, with the exception of a handful, is made by Kellogg's or an extension of Kellogg's. Like, what cereal can you buy? Just about it, they come in so many different names, and even some of them off brands, if you actually look, it's still connected to Kellogg's. Like, what cereal are you gonna buy?
Dump Kellogg's, Karen. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Pringles, Frosted Flakes, Eggos, mm-hmm. Mini Wheats,
Kellogg's real deep,
Cheez-Its, Pop Tarts, Raisin Bran, Rice Krispies, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops, Nutri-Grain, Kellogg Corn Flakes, and of course Special K.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they want to boycott it. Some people was buying it to burning it. So stupid.
That's fine. Make their stocks go up. I wish people would protest us like that. Like, for real, just protest us, buy premium, and don't listen.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me, though? This now puts me in a position where I can be an activist by going to the store and buying Pop-Tarts and Pringles and shit. You know, buying Kellogg's is, activism. I'm about to be the Al Sharpton of this shit, man.
What?
I could use some Apple Jacks. It's been I've been messing around with some other cereals lately, you know.
I'm gonna get on it then.
I gotta get back on the grind, dog. What's up with these Pringles, dog?
Come on, I love me some Pringles.
So yeah, Karen, 0 to 100.
Oh, that's a zero.
All right, Miss Smart.
Yeah, that's a zero, because again, just like with Starbucks, they're stupid enough to buy stuff. Like, they don't understand how any of this, how boycotting works.
Yeah, I saw one of them say they were going to buy cereal and pour it down the toilet and flush it. I was like, for what?
You just wasted your money. Kellogg's, once you purchase it, Kellogg's gives zero fucks about what you do after that purpose.
Kellogg's is like, it was going down the toilet one way or the other, so thanks.
Right. You either going to shit it out or pour it down the drain. It don't matter to us.
Mm-hmm. And I would give it a zero as well. The KKK is apparently they wanted to do a members drive through North Carolina, through a town, to hail Trump's victory, and it got canceled because a bunch of Black Lives Matter protesters showed up and flooded the streets.
Come on, get the fuck out of here.
I gotta say, man, Klan done fell off. You know, used to be a time, man, they would have got out there and cracked some heads.
Mm-hmm.
But the 2016 Klan, they just go back and subtweet, you know. they just unfollow, you know, block accounts.
They don't burn real crosses, they just put burning crosses online.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what it was about Trump's election that excited them. They make them want to march.
The economy.
Oh, you're right. Economic anxiety, obviously. Yeah. What was I thinking? So yeah, they didn't march because Black Lives Matter people was out there. And not just Black Lives Matter. I mean, it was a bunch of different people, you know, out there. They had signs, fags and dykes against the white knights.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's catchy.
Yep. They had
like, we out here in full force.
They had the rainbow flag. Cause I mean, it's, all that bigotry flows from the same shit, man.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's not like the Klan's gonna be like, now, you know what? We okay with the homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, they, let me guess, the guy who wants to burn the cross probably, not a, why are they against burning the flag but not a cross? I'm sorry, they just, that just came in my head. Right? Like, they want to prosecute people for burning flags, but you can burn a cross, but y'all supposed to be so religious. I don't think either should be prosecuted, but still. Anyway, yeah, they were scared, so they ain't come out good. And
maybe they were celebrating the fact that Trump is doing his victory tour. I didn't know presidents did victory tours.
This one does.
Yeah, because
President-elect.
Yeah, he's in our state right now doing a victory tour.
Hitler did.
Wait, if they were, if the KKK has uniforms that mm-hmm. cover their heads, their faces, mm-hmm. so why couldn't they come out? Like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, you know why? Because they're not made of Teflon or armor. Mm-hmm. They just some sheets. You can still buy tickets, and if you get them in advance, you can still catch a show in these hands. So I think they was like, "We gonna miss that. We gonna cancel the show in these hands."
Right.
Here's the thing, though. Cause I'm not done with this story. A California KKK leader got arrested for stabbing in North Carolina just before this Trump victory parade was supposed to happen.
That was about the economy too?
It must have been the economy. They were charged with assault after they assaulted another Klan member.
The infighting is going to rip the whole organization apart.
Well, I've been saying this for a while. When are white people going to address Klan on Klan violence?
Mm-hmm.
Because I really can't take serious all of that all lives matter, white lives matter, and blue lives matter stuff until they stop killing each other while being racist to each other. I just can't take it. Like, what the fuck? Did they find some Kellogg's in the dude's fridge and they just start stabbing motherfuckers?
I know, like, it's my baby's favorite cereal. We told you we were not going to buy Jimmy Bob.
Why does your Starbucks cup not have Trump as the name? And then next thing you know, you got stabbing nigga.
Right.
Yeah, it was involved in an argument with a man named Richard Dillon. So I guess now we know he in the Klan.
I'm trying to put his whole name out.
And the clash turned violent. He's accused of stabbing him several times. Mm-mm-mm. So there you go. The Grand Dragon. I hear stabbing motherfuckers. Mm-mm-mm. Stabbing white people even. Like, that's when you know you fucking up.
Come on.
It's like not even what y'all was founded on.
Mm-mm.
All right, so 0 to 100, Karen. By the Klan stories.
Oh, he stabbed another
The march.
Member.
It didn't go off. The zero. Zero. All right, Miss Smart.
Zero all the way around.
Yeah, I gotta go with zero too. I think it worked out well.
Yeah, this has been a pretty good day. Mm-hmm. I gotta go with zero myself. I mean, you planned a march that didn't happen. You stabbed another white racist. I mean, all in all, sounds like a win for black people today. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into some Walking Dead. Once again, gonna play this song. Not sure if you're gonna be able to hear it. I'll let you know when it's done. That's right, we're back to talk about some Walking Dead, man. And of course I closed the damn tab that had all the information on it, so that's awesome. That is really smart.
I see you over there being Karen today.
Say what, Karen?
I see you over there being Karen today.
I guess so. The good news is I do know the name of the episode was I think it was Sing Me a Song or something like that. Oh yeah, Sing Me a Song. Hey, I got it right. Directed by Rosemary Rodriguez. The ratings continue to be low. Although it got a little tick up from last week, 10.4 million. Mm-hmm, 10.48 million. And this is episode 7 of season 7, which means next week, finale for the fall. And you know that means we don't get no new episodes till
February, March.
I know.
It's going to be good too. I'm excited. That's one thing about this time of year. All the shows just stop all of a sudden. Everything just stops. And it's like, oh, come on, dog.
I'm okay with some of it stopping. Walking Dead is one of the ones I miss. Like, I'm not going to front. You know why I miss my Walking Dead? Because Walking Dead gives a fuck about anything. Like, they just go 8 episodes in a row. They don't give a fuck if it's Thanksgiving, Christmas.
That's what I like about them.
They don't care about your kids. Mm-hmm.
Like, you better DVR. We is not taking a break.
Are you going trick-or-treating? That's cool, because we're going to be over here with these zombies.
Right. I bet you if Election Tuesday would have been on Walking Dead Day, they'd be like, fuck it. You better watch, because we ain't stopping shit.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if there's any debates during that time, but you know if it was, they was like, and?
What? We got 8 weeks. We're going to put them all right here.
Right. They was like two sides of the same coin.
I know.
But Walking Dead will be on here Sunday.
Right.
Anyway, sing me a song. I guess the best way to describe this episode. Well, we had all our places set. Like, after the start of the season, I feel like every locale so far has been set up. You know, the Kingdom, Savior's Camp, Alexandria, and Hilltop. So now they seem like they can tell a story and they can start skipping around a couple locations, almost like Game of Thrones.
And that place by the sea?
Oceanside?
Yeah.
So we have the setting for everything. And so we finally kind of got back to normal, where it's, here's a thing happening here, here's a thing happening there. And the basic story, there's essentially 3 different stories. 2 of them are short, 1 of them's long, but it's Carl goes to the Savior's camp.
Calling Jesus.
Really.
Jesus don't make it all the way there.
There was 2 sets of footprints, and then there was one.
There was one, right.
But, Carl goes to the Savior's camp with, you know, Jesus almost goes. And then Michonne hatches a plan, to try to go see Negan, and, Rick and Aaron are off trying to find supplies scavenging, and they come up on a pretty difficult stash. And then there's one more story, Rosita trying to get a bullet.
Just one bullet,
y'all. She's just trying to get one bullet in her life. So she goes to make a bullet with Eugene, and Spencer goes scavenging. So all this shit was happening at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just a lot. I don't know the best way to do it. So I'm gonna ask you guys, I don't know how y'all prefer. Should we break it down just the 4 different stories, or do y'all want to go like scene by scene? I have either way, it's fine, but it's up to y'all. Karen, what do you vote?
Let's break it down, not scene by scene, but like
story by story.
Right.
What about you, Miss Smart? What do you think?
I agree. Yeah, especially since it's a lot longer than normal.
Yeah, it's 1 hour and a half. Yeah. Right. All right. So, basically, let's start with Michonne. I think Michonne's is probably the shortest.
Mm-hmm.
The show starts actually with Michonne whistling, "Hunting We Will Go," and she is walking in the middle of the street with her sword. Some zombies start following her. She chops their heads off, and then she leaves her walkie-talkie and her sword, and starts dragging just leaves her in the middle of the street, starts dragging the zombie off to nowhere. Karen was in the house yelling.
Yes, I was.
She was like, "Wow, no, don't do that, Michonne." I was like, it's okay. She can take care of herself. She knows what she's doing.
I know.
But, yeah, so she walked off. Now, what did you guys think she was doing when you first saw this? Karen, let's go, Miss Smart. You go first.
Oh no, I mean, I had no idea, but I knew whatever it was probably a bad idea, because her dude is gone, her best girlfriends are gone. She don't have nobody to run this by. I mean, her fake son is gone. There was nobody there to be like, "Now, girl, that's a ridiculous idea. That's the dumbest shit you've ever said."
She not even watching Carl.
Mm-mm.
Don't even know where he at. And then, not to mention, she saw the damn burning mattresses, so it looked like she still was hot over that shit. Mattress out there looking blacker than Whoopi Goldberg's lips.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, and she was very upset at that anyway. She's been kind of going rogue, trying to learn to shoot. It doesn't seem like she agrees with Rick's path anyway, so I don't know. It just all kind of felt like whatever the plan was, it was something that was only going to involve her anyway. Now, for the record, Michonne was the one that snuck into that governor's room and fought him to a standstill. Wasn't she the one that took his eye?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, she could be planning some similar, like, I'm going to do this to Negan too, maybe in her mind. Maybe that's what she's thinking. I don't know. Point being, she has a secret plan. I didn't know what she was doing with them zombies. I thought she was going to put the zombie guts on her so she could walk through some zombies or something. Turns out she was building a zombie speed bump.
Yeah, to force people to stop. Because initially, I actually thought that, to an extent, I thought, well, maybe she was going to leave when she was listening, trying to draw them out. I thought, well, maybe she's going to chop them off and, like, leave as far as, like, use them to get somewhere.
Chain them up like she used to
right.
do. Yeah, I can't picture her ever doing that again because of how that one time she tried to go back to just, I'm going to chain up two zombies and cut off their teeth and walk, and she just couldn't do it. So I feel like she'll never go back to being solo. At any rate, she made the zombie speed bump. A woman, a redhead, gets out of car to out of her truck to examine the speed bump rather than, you know, turning around find another route.
Mom.
And of course Michonne snuck up on her, put the sword to her neck, and was like, hey, take me to Negan. They got in the car. Michonne put the gun to the woman's head. The woman like slammed on the brakes and tried to like wrestle the gun from Michonne. All she got was a knot upside her head for doing that shit.
Right into the steering wheel.
Yeah, Michonne was like, now take me to Negan.
She really didn't have no airbags.
Right. So it looked like whatever her plan was, she trying to go to Negan by herself. I don't know.
That's not going to end well. But
yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Especially coming up on the fall finale, I feel like somebody catching the bat, at least one person, somebody catching the bat next week. And I don't want it to be my baby, okay? Mm-mm. But, you know, the women on this show are the fighters, it seems, in our group right now. So we had that. The other story we had was, we'll go with Spencer. Spencer sees Rosita and Eugene going out, and Eugene thinks they're going scavenging.
Yeah,
Rosita's like, we ain't going savaging.
No, we're not doing that bullshit.
And he's like, well, what are we going for? And she's like, don't even worry about that. You just coming with me. And Spencer sees him as like, what you mean y'all not going scavenging? Y'all need to pay y'all taxes. That's what Negan is. We got to do this now. Which is funny because I thought this nigga had left.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, who let you back in?
Right.
You got in your car and drove off mad. You should have kept your ass out there if you think everything wrong here. Anyway,
the truth.
So he of course blamed Rick, like, you know, Rick got us in this situation, and Rosita just hit him with some plain, like, what the fuck, you want to be the leader, what you gonna do better, like, what are we supposed to do, you know? And so she's like basically shut the fuck up, you know, you don't know what you're talking about.
And she was there, right? Mm-hmm. So she was mm-hmm. there, so she actually seen it, and she's looking at him like, you didn't see what he did. You really don't understand what you're up against. And honestly, who else is going to lead the group? Like, you really think you can, like, as coward as you are, you really think you can do better?
My favorite part was that she said, you probably got a truckload of stuff in the woods, so why don't you go get it and start paying your taxes?
Come on. Mm-hmm. Cause she's like, I know you be hiding shit.
Yeah, how you going to be leader when you a selfish ass hoarding motherfucker yourself? You can't be the leader? You crazy, man? At any rate, so Spencer basically goes out scavenging, but he goes with Gabe instead of Rosita and Eugene, since they like, we on our own shit. And they get in the car, and he asks Gabe, is it a sin to hate somebody. And Gabe says, no, because that's a thought. It's only a sin when you act on it. And he was basically like, good, because I hate Rick. And don't you hate Rick like you used to hate him last season? And Gabe was like, man, I'm off that shit, dog. He inspired me. He made me a better person. He's not perfect, but he good. And he's like, no, my mama, Deanna, she was perfect. And she was a good leader. She brought the best in people. And Gabe was like, Rick brought the best in me. He's like, yeah, by bullying you. He was like, sometimes, you know, that might be what it takes. And then he basically says, he blames Rick for everybody dying. It's like my dad, you know, Reg, my mama, my brother, and Gabe is like, well, them people might have died anyway, and what about the people that are alive, because Rick was the leader too,
right?
I mean, technically probably all Alexandria's alive because of Rick, because when they got rid of those zombies from the quarry.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, some motherfuckers can't be grateful, you know. He said, Spencer basically intimates that it would be better if maybe Rick died out, mm-hmm, out there. And Gabe said, stop the car. And the music from Boys in the Hood start playing.
Yeah, he was like, I'll be taking the rest of this walk by foot, taking my ass back.
He said, well, it was actually one of my favorite lines. He was basically like, it doesn't make you a sinner to talk like this, but it does make you a tremendous shit, I think he said. Let me see if I can find it, but yeah, it was like, yeah, it says it doesn't make you a sinner, but it does make you a tremendous shit. Just for now, it doesn't have to be terminal. Then he got out and he walked back by himself. Mm-hmm. Spencer got out the car, heard some noises, ran into the woods, and there was a walk in a tree stand that looked like maybe he was a hunter or something, or he was staying up there somehow. I don't know how he died in the tree exactly. Maybe killed himself or something, I don't know. But he had a bow, and Spencer decides to take a rope and try to get that bow off of the tree stand, and then, you know, maybe give it to Negan. He gets the bow, but it loosens the tree stand. The walker falls. Spencer grabs the bow before he can get crushed by the walker. The walker hits his head on the tree, so it's dead when it falls. And he runs the walker's pockets.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And what was real cool about that, just the way that walker fell apart, like the way, mm-hmm, he lost both his arms, like that was a really neat fall.
Yeah, that was one of the better I mean, every week they do one zombie special effect where I'm like, oh cool, never seen that before,
right?
You know, so yeah, his arms popped off and then it fell and died. In the pocket was a note, a knife, a small knife, and then a note, and the note was in the Latin.
And that might have been the realest thing, the best thing Spencer has done in his entire time on the show, is decide to go in his pockets. He's, mm-hmm, done nothing else of value,
right? And basically it ends, his storyline ends with he rolls up to Alexandria in his car at the same time Eugene and Rosita roll up, and they're like, where you get all that stuff from? And he was like, I read this note, it was in Latin, it was to a bunch of like hidden caches of supplies that this hunter who had a plan had in his pocket, and I dug them all up and I'm bringing them back. And she's like, you just gonna give them to the saviors? And he was like, yeah, that's what y'all said to do, that's what Rick said to do, so that's what I'm doing. Which was really him getting
y'all
the attitude.
Think that they believed him? That he found that note and all that stuff? Because at first I believed him, but then when I watched it again, I was like, that's exactly what she told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know if they really believed that he really got it from some stranger in the woods.
That's true, yeah. And Deanna did tell him to learn Latin because one day this pain might be useful. The same note she wrote on the map, the layout, mm-hmm, of Alexandria. Yeah.
I do think she taught him how to read that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... I mean, I don't know. Maybe they thought he was lying. I don't think I don't think they thought he was lying because it was so much shit. Like, it was just so much. They've never had that much, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I think it was like obvious, like, well, this ain't our shit. You know, like when they found his stash, it was like 2 pans of beans, some wine,
a gun.
Right. You know, this nigga had medicine and shit. They was like, okay, this motherfucker must have really found some shit. But he also adds at the end of that sentence, he's like, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And more. So I don't know what and more is. Well, it sounds like Spencer has some plan about trading this shit or giving this shit to Negan and them. And there's something else he wants. I'm wondering if he's gonna join them.
I'm thinking he is, yeah, because he just can't stand Rick that much. Because honestly, maybe it's me, I think he know he can't fuck with Rick. Like, he really knows that if he actually tried to do anything for Rick, mm-hmm. they will fuck him up.
Yeah, he whistles for them to open the gate. One of Negan's men opens the gate, and they see that Negan's truck is there too. So they know he's in there. Let's see what else happened in this great story. So the other storyline is Rosita and Eugene. Mm-hmm. Rosita and Eugene essentially are going to the bullet factory that
the bullet joints.
Yeah, I think it was like a printing press that he thought, or canning place or something. Whatever Eugene thought he could convert into making bullets. And he went there with Abe in last season, and that was the time he got kidnapped and had to bite a dude's dick, Dwight's dick, to get out. So he apparently has made some promise to himself he ain't ever going back or whatever. But Rosita said, fuck all that shit, we going.
Right. I don't care what you doing. We going right. back.
Right. And so they get out there, and Rosita's like, all right, dog, make me a bullet. And Eugene comes up with a whole lot of reasons why he should not have to be making no bullets.
Yeah, he said what had happened was, she was like, I don't care.
Yeah, like, she's like, actually, I'm gonna need you to make this bullet and stop bitching. And he was like, nah, see, because you need to slow your roll. Because one bullet ain't about to make no difference. What if even if you kill Negan, you're gonna have to pay the price for that. Who knows what they gonna do to you? And the way it's set up, maybe they don't even kill you. Maybe they kill one of us. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, would a dude that killed A be dead if I kill Negan? And he's like, yeah, but still, she was like, I don't care. He was like, we need to like build a coalition. That's what Abe said. We need to like get the superior numbers. We don't have the numbers right now.
That's what a lot of them don't understand. Like,
yeah.
You can't just be out there just wilding out. Like, y'all know they have a lot of them, and so you gonna need people too.
Yeah, he's played enough Dungeons and Dragons and strategy games.
Yes, he has.
You know,
he's like, this is how my wizard die every time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he's like, why would we do this? This is not how you win any. You can't win Stratego like this. And Rosita said, she called him a pendejo, and she was like, basically, you a coward. You don't do shit. The only reason you're alive is because you lied. You weak, and this is the one thing you can do, so make me a motherfucking bullet. So he of course started making her that bullet, because I mean, at the end of the day, he is scared of her, and she was she is angry as fuck right now. So it's like, what you gonna do, bro? Then he makes her bullet, and she thanks him, and he's like, come on, dog, you can save all your fake ass thankfulness for some, because I know you don't mean it. You said how you really feel. Let's just walk back in silence, because it's obvious you don't fuck with me, and that's it.
And it was hilarious. He was like, we can go back to the silent awkwardness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty much it for their storyline. You know, it was like, I feel like Rosita's just mad at everybody.
Oh, she is. Yeah, she's mad at the world.
You know, I don't, like, she's not mad necessarily at Rick, but no, she's probably gonna be mad at him too. She's mad at everybody that's not out here looking for revenge.
Yeah.
And she really loved Abe. Even after he left his Best Buy shirt hanging in her closet. She still fuck with that dude.
Yes.
Over there, man, you know the irony. He was blowing Sasha back out. Mm-hmm. Parallels. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rosita's insecure.
Never know.
Awkward brown girl. At any rate, that was crazy, that storyline. Now she does got that one bullet, and Negan is in Alexandria. It could be about to go down. I don't know.
You better hope she don't miss.
I mean, I feel like they not killing Negan right now, so.
Oh no, they not.
Whatever happens, if she tries some stupid shit, she might get fucked up.
Or get somebody else fucked up, and that was Eugene's thing. She said, I'm willing to pay the price. I was like, yeah, you said that now.
There's somebody else willing to pay the price for you to be that motherfucker. Okay. Plus, I'm telling you, man, something about Negan, it feels like he keeps some of them savages in line, and they not respecting that. Like, you kill him, and now you got dude that was out there fucking touching Enid's face.
I know, licking over her for them goddamn balloons.
Right, you got that dude walking around with nobody telling him the you know, leave people alone. All right, so Rick and Aaron will be the last story before we get to the main event.
Okay.
Rick and Aaron are sleeping in an abandoned, like, trailer, like for a tractor truck trailer, and they wake up. It's 5:30 in the morning. Rick looks at his walkie talkie and decides not to use it. I thought this was interesting because this was at the exact same time. It was like right after they showed Michonne leaving her walkie talkie in the street. Mm-hmm. And he did say that was the way to contact them, so maybe he was thinking like, should I talk to her? But he hadn't talked to her since she laid them luscious lips on him. So he decided not to talk to her. They open up the trailer. Aaron says, we didn't see that last night. They don't really say what it was that they didn't see, but we later find out that it's like a fence with a sign on it. And the sign was basically like, you don't come beyond this fence unless you want some trouble.
I was like, that's never good.
And they decided, we got one day to be out here, so we would like to get some trouble, please.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
With a capital T.
Yeah, like that decision right there, I was just like, I guess, you know, when you hungry and you desperate, you know, you got to do what you got to do. They said they only got one day to scavenge, so the risk don't have to be the risk. And then finally we cut back to them, and Rick and Aaron are they arrive at like a big ass sign. Actually, I think I have a picture of this sign. Hold on, guys. Hilarious. I might be able to blow this up and show you guys in the chat. Let me screen share real quick. But they sneak into this place. You know, obviously they got the weapons out. They're worried and shit. And they see this sign, and it's a big ass sign with a whole lot of words on it. Says, my name is Leslie Williams Stanton. And I am armed with a Ruger 10/22 crack shot, crack shot, can hit targets up to 70 plus yards, AR 15, I shit you not, AK-47, mm-hmm. Grenades, try me, handguns and rifles of antiquity, I collect enthusiasts. You are not smart to have not listened to the first sign. You will not survive, and my conscience will be clear because you have been warned. I will not hesitate to protect my home, food, my supplies, my ammo. Congratulations. The fact that you have possibly read this far means these that I'm dead without being shot means that I am dead and have at it, assholes. So
wow, that's detailed. That's like a resume. I mean, he could have just wrote on there, I wish a nigga would, and that I think that would have sufficed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically he was like, look, do not be calling my wife no annoying bitch, because I don't play that shit. So yeah, they stood there, looked at the sign, and they decided, fuck it, man. He must be dead.
We read the sign.
And they walk a little bit further, and there's like a lake or a swamp or something. There's a boat sitting on it. It has a bunch of supplies. But the problem is there's zombies all throughout this lake. Now we know from the governor, zombies don't drown. Mm-mm. They can't swim, but they don't drown.
Right.
And the way that he got these zombies set up, it's obvious that he did this because they're like sticking out of the water even. Mm-hmm. And you can't really just swim through because zombies could be under there just ready to bite you.
Tear your ass up.
So they need to find a way to float out to this boat to get these supplies. And they got the, we only got one day thing going. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Versus if they have more time, they go back, regroup, get together. They not make a plan. It was like, we can't even really make a plan. We just got to find a way to get out there.
Right. And that's pretty much where theirs ends. It's like, we're going to go into that boat next week.
We'll see how that ends.
Right.
Do y'all think they're setting, that dude up to be like Rick's new second side guy, like Daryl was?
I don't know, man. Something about it feels like that dude might actually be dead or something. But it feels, I put it this way, this storyline feels like something where they can make it so that Rick and Aaron are out doing something while some shit is going down to Alexandria, and when they get back, it's just gonna be too late. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh man, if they hadn't have been out there fucking with that boat. I don't know. That's how it feels to me. Like,
mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Like, whatever's going down in Alexandria, Rick's not going to be able to squash it because, I mean, you have red hot Rosita coming through.
With her red hot bullet.
Right. Whatever Michonne's up to. You got Carl talking sideways to Negan the whole time. I mean, there's a lot of shit going down that's going to be coming down to Alexandria, and it's like Rick's out farting around on this boat. It feels like it's gonna be some kind of ordeal where maybe they survive and everything's fine, but you get back and it's like, yeah, all for naught, you know, whatever these supplies are you got. And then that's probably the thing that catapults Rick into being like, fuck Negan, we gotta take this motherfucker out, you know. That's my guess. At least that's how it feels, because I'm like, none of this shit is in the book, and I don't really, like, who the fuck is this Leslie Stanton? Like, it just, I don't know. It just feels like it's inconsequential.
I feel like they're setting me up to, like, start caring about dude more than I did before so they can take him away from me. And I'm not falling for that.
Who, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. Aaron's one of the people that, he's almost like milquetoast. He doesn't have a real personality yet. And he mm-hmm. doesn't have a real backstory, but he's also one of those people that's such a good person mm-hmm. that you like, yeah, they could kill him. You know, like I think the one thing he did was he lost his pack and forgot to tell everybody. And that's how the wolves found Alexandria. Mm-hmm. But there's no moral like thing for him where it's like, oh yeah, he's conflicted. Like, he's a straight arrow character. No pun intended, obviously, but, where if they could kill him, and I could see that being like, oh, what a death, you know, like, although I couldn't see that being a death that would make Rick decide they need to fight back.
Not him.
Mm-mm. All right, so let's get to the main event. Young C. Murder Jr. letting that chopper spray. So Carl and Jesus,
I know,
they take off on a road trip together.
Jesus had a fence built around Carl. Carl was like, fuck your fence.
Because when we start, the truck that goes to Negan is stopped in the middle of the road. And they seem to be waiting on some zombies to cross the street. And then they're going to just drive after the zombies pass. And they're sitting on the back of the truck checking the traffic with a mirror, the zombie traffic. And one dude's eating a cucumber raw without even slicing it. That's some savage shit. And they're both talking about Fat Joey and how, you know, the one guy's just shitting on Fat Joey. I hate Fat Joey. And he's like, and the other dude's like, nah, Fat Joey rigged the herd way, which I'm assuming is what they call that area where they have the zombies and all that shit, I'm guessing. I don't know. We say he rigged the herd way with trips, which I'm assuming are like trip wires. He's like, old school gorilla shit. And Buddy's like, what gorilla? He's like, gorilla, like warfare, stupid. That's why you eat your fucking cucumber straight. Without peeling them even. What?
Like a savage.
Like a savage, man. Who eats a cucumber without at least peeling it? Somebody, I was like, last night, I was like, damn, man, my man eating cucumber just straight up, huh? It was like, what? You don't eat them like that? I was like, nigga, I cut them up and put them in a salad or something. Come on, man. Stop acting like I'm weird. Try to act like, people on Twitter will act like everything weird. You're so weird. Like, motherfuckers just going to the produce section eating cucumbers like bananas.
Like apples? Come on.
Come on, man.
You slice them shits.
At any rate, so yeah, they talk about that. They say also Fat Joey, apparently rigged up a lot of explosives. They took the RPG, all kinds of shit. So
he useful.
We know they're sitting on some ordnance, and they said, yeah, dynamite sticks, like construction stuff. So, I mean, it sounds like whatever they have, and they said, you think we can clear them all out, knock it down and clear them out or something like that. So I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but it sounds like they're talking about blowing something up. So gotta be careful with that shit. Jesus and Carl come out of the back once these guys get in the truck and start driving. Jesus sees a landmark and he's like talking to Carl. He's like, look, we can jump off of this, roll with it with the fall, and we can you know, get off before we get to the Savior's compound, and we can just like sneak in. And Carl's like, I'm scared, I don't want to do it. He's like, Jesus like, nah man, it's easy, you just gotta roll with the fall. He's like, well show me first. And Jesus jumps out, and then Carl stays in.
Yeah, Carl wakes up like, not this one eye. And
you think he did it because he didn't want to hurt his eye?
No. He didn't do it because he wasn't planning on doing it no way. Okay. Yeah. But I'm just joking. I mean, yeah. But honestly, truthfully, he only got one eye. His vision is fucked up. Like, you think he really was actually going to jump out and roll like that when he could barely drive that car? And also, Jesus had like some syrup that he like put on the ground for a trail too.
Yep. That's true, Cam. I forgot to mention that. And it was Aunt Jemima syrup.
I bet you as well, you know that's going to stick to the pavement real good.
Shout out.
And yeah. Jesus is extra petty because he cut the bottom of that liquor box. So when they, you know.
And he was pouring out the liquor when they was riding. Yeah. Like, he was just doing all kinds of stuff. Like you say, actually cutting like the bottom. And the layer was so small that you couldn't actually see it. So you would just pick it up, assuming that it was whole.
Oh, he works in mysterious ways, y'all. And that's what he was doing.
He was mysteriously fucking up the boxes.
Well, maybe Jesus didn't need to be drinking all that scotch. So then they get to the truck stops. Carl's in the back and the guys are talking. You can hear them talking to Negan, and one of the things that they say is we need to talk about the redirect. And he's like, what about it? And he's like, well, it didn't get done. And he's like, who's responsible for that? You can't really hear him say who's responsible. They go in to start unloading the truck. Of course, they go grab the liquor first. All the liquor falls out the bottom. While looking down to check what the fuck happened, they happen to spot Carl holding the AK, and Carl just let the chopper spray on them fools.
One eye and all.
He shot both of the dudes that were talking about Fat Joey, and that's why he shouldn't be gossiping, y'all. It's a sin.
He gave them an L.
So he shot them up. He goes, hey, I'm just here to kill Negan because he killed my friends.
Rest of y'all cool.
The rest of y'all can live. Just show me where Negan is. And Negan immediately just like turns on to Negan, you know. I feel like there's a dial on Negan and it's from one to Negan, and he just turns it up to like just all the way to Negan as soon as he seen Carl. Like, oh shit, look what we got here. Like, he's just impressed. He's not even fucking mad that he just killed two dudes. So yeah, he now Negan ain't stupid. He stands behind one of his men to talk to Carl. So it ain't like he just walked up like, what, you point that gun at me, let's talk, you know, because I feel like Carl would have pulled the trigger. So
but I wonder, why didn't anybody else have any guns? Like, I mean, they were all just standing out there loose armed. I mean,
It was quite convenient.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't really be, I'm trying to think, I guess when they're not on guard duty, the dudes don't really walk around armed. Now that you bring it up, I don't think I've seen anybody armed in that camp that wasn't on guard duty, right, or something.
It wasn't like, like,
remember when they beat up Daryl? Mm-hmm. They didn't have guns. Mm-mm. Like, no, I take it back. A couple of them had guns. True. They started out. A couple of them did have guns, but then they just beat them up. The other ones didn't have guns.
Right.
So maybe the guards had guns, and then some of them they don't have guns all the time.
Right.
Interesting. Huh.
Well, it keeps a track of the guns. So.
Yeah, they got the armory, and if they were looking at Rick's armory, they know that they do keep track of guns, so they probably do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That would make sense. Because even when they got, when they killed all the ones at the compound, they ambushed them and they went to the armory first, and that was the end of the fight. Anyway, so they, I mean, I guess in the Z-Pac, you don't want everybody fucking armed.
Mm-mm.
You know? if you're running shit the way Negan's running shit, I mean, not just everybody, but if you're running shit the way Negan's running shit, you probably don't want everybody armed. You know, because there's a lot of reasons to kill him.
A lot.
And they're fucking everybody's wives and shit. Like, any nigga could just lose it one day and be like, where's Negan? I need to talk to him. Bam! So, of course, Negan comes out and says, you are adorable. Stands behind a couple of his men who call, eventually shoots. Before Dwight tackles him, and Dwight turns the gun on Carl, and Negan is like, is that any way to treat our new guest? And puts his hand down to help Carl up, and you can just see Daryl Years a Slave, looking on. Yeah! He's looking on, and he's clearly like concerned for Carl, but he's looking so hard, he's not paying attention to his zombie duty.
Right, he almost got fucked up.
He almost got bit.
Right, so you know he still care.
Yeah, of course he cares about calling them. I mean, but yeah, it was clearly like he didn't want Carl to get killed, but he was like watching and almost got his ass bit, and he couldn't go over there to help. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? Because a couple people did have guns. The woman that kept Daryl from going over there had a gun.
Yeah, because she probably was watching them.
Yeah, I guess they just didn't shoot Carl. I don't know why. You know, he got that halo of invincibility since he's Rick's son and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what else happens. Oh, the camera panned out at this point, and you get to see how fucking huge the facility that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like clearly
I didn't realize it was that big.
They're shipping 1,300 jobs to Mexico.
Yes, they are. Close to 2,000, possibly.
Yeah, they gonna get $7 million from Trump, cause
mm-hmm. get that good old tax break.
Mm-hmm. So we go to commercial. We come back, and when we come back, Negan is basically saying, "Still, Carl's laying on the ground." He's like, "Take my hand, so I can pick you up. Come on, let's go." And Carl don't want to take his hand, and he's like, "You got that stink look in your eye, like your father, but it's only half as bad because, you know, you only got one eye." He said, "Now take my hand. You shouldn't even really be able to take my hand because I was gonna have your daddy cut off your hand." But obviously Carl's not responding to these threats, so he then threatens Daryl by saying, "Yeah, it'd be a lot harder for Daryl to do his work with one arm." And that's when Carl takes his hand. So Carl really came at it to die, like to kill Negan or die trying.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, at any rate,
bumping Ready to Die. If he had headphones, he'd be bumping Ready to Die.
Right.
Rosita.
Cause I'm ready. So yeah, he pulls out the he puts his hand out. Carl takes it and he gets up, you know, finally or whatever. And he's like, "Well, this changed my plans. Take Daryl to the kitchen for grub prep. We can't unload right now, but take these bodies and burn them. I won't have time to screw it in my wives today." And Dwight, who's taking Daryl away, he looks over at Dwight and he's like, "Well, maybe one." Cause he's just so petty. He can't help himself. Mm-hmm. He gotta tell
petty's
him, I'm gonna be fucking Sherry today. He can't help himself. Carl, says, "What are you gonna do to me?" And Negan's like, "Don't do that. don't ruin this image I have of you as a badass by asking these questions. It's like, and also I don't want to tell you what's gonna happen because I don't want to ruin the surprise. Now come on, you know. He then walks into this big ass, like, you know, it's clearly a factory of some sort. Mm-hmm. It used to be. And he gives a speech. He makes everybody take a knee. Obviously, when he shows up, everyone takes a knee. And he gives a speech about how the saviors are great and they bring stuff to the people and stuff. And today, everybody gets fresh vegetables with their meal tonight.
Yeah, all he did was promise them, hey, now you get your 2 15s. I'm giving it back to you.
Right. And no, and he also said, wait, 2 15s.
Breaks.
Oh, 15-minute breaks.
Yeah,
okay.
You know how male supervisors come in when they be giving them pep talks. I will now raise your rates by 1 penny an hour.
What was funny about that, too, was, like, he's like, basically, like, everybody gets fresh fruit. And everybody's like, yes, Negan, appreciate you, dog. And then he turns his back to him, and he was like, look at them. They still on their knees, ain't they? And Carl saw that, and he was like, yep, as you were. Y'all go about y'all business. So they you know, they eventually do go about their business, but
wait. So did y'all, okay, maybe I'm just nitpicky, but I got really caught up in the logistics of this because he said no points. Who's keeping track of points? Like, do they have a card system? I mean, do they have some type of fake currency? Like, do they have like membership numbers that they have to give at the end of the chow line? Like, how do you know whether or not, I mean, are points transferable?
Yeah, there's some form of a point system, and they have kind of mentioned it here and there because you know a lot of people actually end up in like certain positions because of points. Like, you know, you probably have the points for food, you probably use points for various different things, for facilities.
Well, they said you earn points by working, right? And they assign jobs, and jobs are worth so many points. But there has to be a person that does keep track of everybody's points, and they haven't shown that.
Yeah, you know, like a numbers man, somebody who I guess keeps it in their head. I don't trust Dwight to do it.
I mean, we obviously know that you can run out of points because we saw that the first time we were in that camp and that nigga took his shirt off and got stomped. So we do know that somehow they keep points up on a board somewhere or something. I don't know, but the point being, no pun intended, no points for vegetables that night. Okay.
I know they're not charging you for the points that night.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't want to be the point man because you fuck up that, you could die.
Gas tank on E, cucumbers on me, wipe me down.
Ah, not cucumbers.
I don't even know that's the right song. Anyway, they are so happy about that. Carl and Negan go see Negan's harem. Yes, Karen.
No, never mind. Keep going.
Carl and Negan go see Negan's harem, and he tells Carl, it's okay to look at these titties in here because you ain't going to see them nowhere else. Now, what I had noticed, the only woman in there with her titties out was his fine-ass sister. Mm-hmm. The rest of them plain-ass Becky's was all covered up and shit. So, I mean, I don't know if Carl was into the chocolate or what, but
he likes the rainbow. One thing about Negan, he like all the ladies.
Between Michonne and that black woman, though, Carl might be, you know, getting a little taste of the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, the wives didn't go on a knee, and one of them actually got up and walked away when he came in the room. So that's another benefit of being one of his wives. I don't see the problem at this point.
Right. It don't seem like you really have to worship him. You know,
right.
Like none of them took a knee.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like basically you just have sex with them every once in a while and
he leave you alone. Right. You have a lot of freedom. Mm-hmm. Basically taken care of. I guarantee you they probably get their waxes. They probably get their feet done, their nails done. I mean, they probably keep them up really, really, really well to look pretty for him.
And they had a fully stocked bar.
Yeah. Drink your pain away, right there available.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's true too. And
it should have had a couple dudes in there. That would have flipped everybody's mind.
Like a freaking prince.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can tell they have some pink oil moisturizer lotion there, and they have the weave shop there because that sister did a really good job on her weave.
Yeah, why was her hair still so good?
I'm trying to tell.
What's
you.
Her secret? Cause I know none of them white girls is doing it.
She probably did it herself.
She must have.
She probably did it herself, or she raided a beauty supply and keep having people go out to the beauty supply, because you know the beauty supply is probably one of the last places people are going to loot outside of Baltimore, obviously.
Mm. That's true. They're like, why would the hell would I go to the beauty supply? For that right. Yaki. Go get me the mm-hmm. Yaki. 27 inches. Get on it. That'd be her request.
Yep.
So, Sherry is in there, Dwight's ex. And she's talking to an obviously distraught, crying young blonde woman about something. And Negan requests to speak to Sherry. And at that point, it becomes obvious that through the story they told, and even though we've only been seeing stuff from, like, Daryl's perspective in the camp, Sherry's not just one of his wives. She's the bottom bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's the main one.
Like, she runs the harem, it seems. Mm-hmm. And she's taking a leadership position, so whatever's going on is not, it makes me feel like maybe that romanticized love story that Dwight had about, maybe none of that shit was really that crucial. Like, maybe she's kind of like, I'm glad to be out of this shit with you, because maybe Negan ain't that bad, you know.
Yeah, she may have lost respect for him too.
Yeah, because it is a job at this point,
right?
So anyway, Negan basically walks up and he's like, what's going on with what was her name, Amber? And Sherry's like, nothing, and what happens when you're not here isn't your business. So apparently, I guess that's a thing he says to people, and he's like, okay, you know, well played, you know, fair game. And he was like, I heard that Mark skipped redirect duty. So now we know what happened with redirect, to be with Amber.
Ah, that's how they end up getting stopped with mm-hmm. the zombies, because they probably was supposed to keep the zombies from
redirect the zombies from crossing the highway,
right?
Which apparently Mark didn't do, because he was trying to get in Amber's goodies while, you know, while he was supposed to be doing that. So he's like, is that true? And she didn't want to say shit, and then he basically said, look, we got rules. You here because you follow the rules. She don't follow the rules, she gotta go. And she was like, okay, she made a mistake, but please calm down. And he was like, whoa, you calm down. No, she was like, please don't hurt her or something. He was like, you can't, have I ever put my hands on any of y'all? And she was like, no, but you can do worse things. And he just laughed, like, looked at her and, like, I don't know, this evil grin that he had after he had poured himself a drink and shit. He goes over to Amber and he basically tells her, look, you don't have to be here. If you want to go back out and get a job and earn points, hell, you can have the same job, you can work with Mark, I don't give a fuck, because we only got one rule: if you're gonna be my wife, you can't cheat on me. So what you want to do? And she's like, I want to stay. And he's like, okay, well, you know what that means, right? And Carl's watching all this interaction, by the way. And she's like, yeah. He's like, all right, you know what that means. She was like, yeah. And she starts crying. He's like, I don't know why you crying, you made out aces in this deal. Carl, who's watching this shit, Negan looks like right in his face, because he's just that type of bully. Mm-hmm. And she tells Negan, I only love you, Negan. And he goes over to Sherry and he says, see, I didn't have to hit her or any of that shit. I don't know what you was talking about. She called him an asshole, and then he was like, oh, I'm an asshole, but you like me though, girl. This what you into. And he kissed her and she kissed him back. And what did y'all think about the kiss?
It looked like a woman that's trying to keep her rent paid. I mean, you know, you don't have to be like, you don't have to show disdain like Michonne. I mean, you could still play the game. I mean, she probably in there probably got like all the good body scrubs and stuff. I mean, you don't give that up by bad kissing.
Okay, Karen,
don't mess that up.
Karen, what'd you think about the kiss?
Oh yeah, I truly think it was a show, because she not trying to give up her bottom bitch position. She's like, nope, mm-hmm. I will not give up this position. And the thing is, women can fake a lot of shit. We, just like black people know white people, women know men, and we know how to stroke that ego, so we know how to pretend on a lot of shit to get what we want.
Here's what I thought. I said this before, and I said it, I'll say it every time. When you're dealing with nigga, if you gotta suck a dick, you might as well deep throat it. Like, don't be half-assing. And that's essentially what's come down. Like, Sherry is basically like, look, why would I half-ass this? I'm about to put my tongue down his tonsils, cause what the fuck, man? I'm stuck here. I can either be the best of the woes, wife hoes, or I could be, you know, just one of these regular women, you know, like one of these regular wives that he don't care about, you know? So she runs shit and that's her position. So she gonna be the best woe she can be. And I don't blame her. I just thought the kiss was passionate though. It was like, I was like, she is good at this. Mm-hmm. The timing was awkward though, cause the wife walked in with Daryl, mm-hmm. who was holding a fruit tray. I guess that's what grub duty is. Bringing grub up there for Negan and his wives. So yeah, he walked up there and he just happened to see the tail end of that slob down that Negan and Sherry were having, and Daryl Northrup was just sitting up there looking at Fetty Carl like, what did I walk in on?
Right, he held his hand up like, y'all got to wait for me to finish this.
Right. And Negan actually saw it and laughed. Mm-hmm. Laughed in Sherry's face. Mm-hmm. Cold-blooded dude, man.
Yeah, she's learned how to put on a face, because bitch, she's probably been dealing with that shit for a long ass time.
Right. Negan tells Carl to grab the tray from Daryl. And then Daryl says, why you got him here? And Negan's basically like, man, who the fuck you think you talking to? He was like, you say one more question, I will hate to do it, but I'll take this toothpick and put out his good eye. And I think Daryl gets the point. And then he tells them to go, and he tells Dwight to warm up the furnace. And they go to commercial. Let's see what else happened.
Are you guys off screen for everybody?
I'm off screen? What? Oh, shit. What's
mine
happening?
Is saying I'm loading video, waiting for Rod and Karen to reconnect. Oh, no. I think it's just me.
Oh, okay. It's just you.
Never mind. Right. I'll refresh.
Cool, no cool. Problem. So with the Carl storyline, because we're not skipping around. Carl is in Negan's study. I don't know what the fuck that room is. And he asked if all those women are really Negan's wives. Negan was like, yeah. Like, I decided we can start society over. I might as well live the way I wanted to. I always wanted to have sex with a bunch of women. Now I got them. He sits down with Carl, tells him he's smart and shit. He said, matter of fact, you're so smart. You know, I can't just let you kill two men and not make you pay. It's got to be some kind of punishment. And he makes Carl take off his head wrap bandage that covers his fucked up eye. Mm-hmm. And he was basically, I think I have this clip. Oh yeah, I think I got this clip. Hold on. Let me put this in the chat for you guys. I can just play it. Just give me a second here. But yeah, he basically tells Carl, like, it's gotta be a punishment because, you know, you did wild out and kill two of my people, and you know how I'm gonna look just taking that shit. You know, you a badass and all that, and in the middle of that he's just kind of like, oh yeah, it's like, this is like talking to a Christmas present. I can't talk to you without I can't talk to you with this bandage on your face, so take it off. All right, let's see if I can play it for you guys. And I don't know if the audio is gonna come through or not.
It was so gross though.
Yeah, it went up and then went away.
It went up and went away.
On the share screen.
Okay, okay.
Can you guys see it?
No.
In the chat?
Mm-mm.
Wait. How can you tell they can't see it?
Because I can't see it. Because I seen it pop up, and then I see it. It went away. The third box.
All right. Hold on a second, guys. Hold on. Stop sharing. And I'll try to bring it back. Give me one second.
Okay.
Oh, for some reason the sound was off. I should probably turn that back on. All right, shrink this down and go back. Screen share.
I know sometimes it's a little delay.
Yeah. Let's see if it works this time. Oh wait, this isn't even the one I wanted to show you guys.
Uh-oh.
That was because this was from somebody that recorded their TV. And I actually have The Walking Dead's like official shit.
Okay.
So I prefer to show their HD quality shit rather than
I don't blame you. Yeah, the third screen is up now so we can see what you're doing.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. So it was just like I went to click on it, I was like, oh yeah, Carl shows niggas eye, and then it was like some niggas just like his TV. I was like, what is this?
I don't need your iPhone footage. I want the real thing.
Right. All right, let's see, where is it at? Recent post. And it's, yeah, Carl without his bandage scene. All right, see if we can show you guys this one. And Karen, you say you can see it?
Yes, we can see this.
Good. Hopefully it plays a commercial to make this even more awkward, because definitely don't want it to go straight to the video.
Why would you do that?
That's a nightmare. Yeah, 15 seconds. So, yeah, it's going to be some kind of commercial first, which I have muted. Which would be a good time to tell you guys, lootcrate.com/TVGWT, code TVGWT, okay? Make sure you guys take care of that. Get yourself some nerdy gear before we get started. All right, cool. Let's see. And I might be able to make it full screen. I don't know. And like I said, I don't know if the sound's going to come through on the MS Smart.
Okay.
Can I wrap up my face now?
No, you absolutely cannot.
Why the hell not?
Oh, look at this badass. You can't because I'm not done with you. And I like looking at your disgusting, rat-ass, badass eye, so it's staying out. You got something to say?
Why haven't you killed me? Or my dad? Or Daryl?
Daryl is going to make a good soldier for me. You see, he thinks he's holding it together. But you saw it. Your dad, he's already getting me great stuff. You, on the other hand, we shall see. It's more productive to break you. More fun, too. You thinking that's stupid?
I'm thinking we're different.
You're a smart kid. What do you think I should do? You know I can't let you go. So, do I kill you? Iron your face, chop off your arm.
Oh wait, you know what, this is from a later scene. This is after you made Carl show the eye. God damn it, my bad, y'all. At any rate, as you guys can see, they had some pretty good awkward interactions. Here's what he made him take off his bandage so he could see it. Carl started crying and shit because Carl is still a fucking baby.
But he went in hard on him though.
It did seem gross.
I mean, he's still a kid. And it's like, as soon as he pulled his motherfucking eye, he was like, oh shit, yo eye. Oh, nigga. What is wrong with your fucking face? Can I touch it? I think he asked him, could he touch it? And he didn't. He made Carl sing him a song. Carl sang, "You Are My Sunshine," and he cried, and Negan was swinging the bat in the background, talking about, don't let this bother you. Just such a dick, man. And then when Carl got done singing, he said, who taught you that song? Your mama. Where's your mom? And he's like, oh, she's dead. He's like, how did she die? And Carl's like, I killed her. And he was like, oh, you are a little serial killer in the making. And he's like, I'm just busting your balls, man. It's called busting balls or whatever. also to get Lucille, Fat Joey had brought Lucille up to Negan. Yes. Negan made a joke about, did you finger her pussy when you brought up here?
And he looked like, what?
Fat Joey's like, no. He was like, a bat doesn't have a pussy, silly. And then he started laughing, and he was like, now get the fuck out, or whatever. So it was like, like the whole scene was just relying on Jeffrey Dean Morgan's complete, like, I don't even know what to call it, just his charisma.
He delivers it very well.
Yeah. So let's see. Negan goes down and gives a speech to the people that have gathered around the furnace, because Mark apparently is tied to a chair. Mm-hmm. And Negan tells about the rules and how we got to follow the rules, and the rules will keep us alive, everybody says. So he must say that a lot. He then takes a hot iron out of the furnace after putting a big ass like glove on, big rubber glove, and he irons half of this nigga's face. Woo. And it was gross.
You get sizzling. Oh, I couldn't even imagine the smell. Oh,
like bacon. And then when he pulled it off his skin, like some of his skin stuck to the iron.
Of course it would.
I know. I'm just glad him and Negan could iron some things out.
They dang good, all right.
Yeah. No need to be pressed about it, Karen.
Mm-hmm. You got all the wrinkles out of that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he, you know what I say? Don't starch none, won't be none, is what I say. That's what I always like to tell the people.
It's always a consequence when you're too pressed.
Uh-huh. He was getting steamed.
Yeah, you, mm-hmm. you had to strike when iron is hot.
Mm-hmm. It was hot. So, yeah, after he got his face ironed, apparently he pissed himself. And Negan made Daryl. Yeah, and he passed out, yes. And he made Daryl clean it up. Negan was like, Daryl, you clean that up. Clean up that piss. And then it was funny because when he got done, he goes, see? What was it that bad to all the people in the audience? And then he's like, the pussy passed out. It's like, what an asshole. Mm-hmm.
You know what? And I guarantee you, he's done this before.
He did it to Dwight.
I mean, yeah, he did it to Dwight, but prior to Dwight, he's had to do this before. And could you imagine? Somebody may have died from that. Like, everybody don't just straight pass out.
Pretty well, they got the doctor now. He told the doctor to take care of him.
Yeah, I guess he got a doctor, but the doctor, one man crew, he had an assistant, but the assistant apparently died.
Yeah, so, he basically said, yeah, he passed out. Tells Carl, you probably think I'm a lunatic, huh? Now come on, let's go. Gotta get you back home. Dwight and Sherry met in the stairwell to burn one. Dwight tells her that she probably had to sell out Mark and Amber in order to survive because Negan was whatever. She said that's not how it happened. He said whatever you gotta tell yourself to sleep at night. She was like, how do you sleep at night? He was like, I don't, I watch TV straight through the morning. And then she was like, we shouldn't really even be hanging out like this. We made this deal because we wanted neither of us to be affected by it or something. We were the only ones that were going to be affected by this. And then he was like, if you still standing, then you standing on somebody's back. That's just the way this is. And she was like, we need to stop chilling like this. And, which makes sense. I mean, what's he going to do to Dwight? Burn the other half of his face? You want to be the first nigga with burn 2/5 of his face? Like, let it go, bro. He was like, we're not even doing anything. She was like, right. And then she got up and walked away.
Yeah, that was the end of her 15.
Mm-hmm. He had to come off break.
Mm-hmm.
After that, that was the scene I was telling you guys, I was playing for you earlier, where Carl wants to put his bandage back on. Negan says no. And let me actually go back to that scene because I want y'all to hear how fucking Carl like steps up to Negan, but first I need to go to session 2 of this thing, so give me 1 second.
Okay,
and I'll go to session 2. Mm-mm-mm. Almost done. But yeah, man, that the whole time, I guess I'll just ask y'all, what do y'all think of Chandler Riggs acting, the guy who plays Carl?
I think he's okay. I wasn't sure, like in that scene when he started crying, whether he was crying because he was embarrassed or because he was angry. He didn't convey that, or maybe it was both. I don't know, but I wasn't sure in that point.
Yeah, Karen, what do you think about Chandler Riggs acting as Carl?
I like his acting now than when he was a child. He was very stiff and hard as a kid. Like, you know, I can't explain it, but he was emotionless. And he's older, and he got a little range of emotion. But like Miss Marsh say, he's not the type of person that's I see as a full-fledged emotional character. Or possibly actor. Now, Rick, you can see the ranges in Rick. But you really can't, you don't get that in Carl. It's either mad or not mad.
Here's my thing with Carl. I was realizing, because of the, just life, he's been doing this show for like, what, 7 years now?
So we've seen him grow
up. Like, we watched him really become a young man. Like, I don't know how old he is in real life, but it's almost hard to, like, compared to the comic when it felt like Carl going to the Savior's compound felt more like a 12 to 14 year old going. This feels more like a 17 year old going. So it feels different to me, like,
right,
almost like, why is this nigga even giving him a chance? Right, like, he is dangerous.
Yeah, Carl in the comic, it was literally like an 8 to 10 to 12 year old little boy.
Yeah, but I'm saying by the time he went to this compound, he was older than that. I mean, obviously. But he wasn't as old as Chandler Riggs because it's a TV show. So in the TV show world, they're like only a couple years past. But in real life, you can't make a kid not be 7 years older than he was when you started the show.
True.
Without switching actors or something, and then you end up with a new Zach situation on your hands.
Yeah, we don't want no new Zach. No new Zach here.
All right, back to the clip.
Tell me, what do you think?
You should jump out the window to save me the trouble of killing you.
Oh, now there is the kid that impressed the hell out of me.
I think you're not saying what you're going to do to me because you're not going to do anything. If you knew this, if you knew anything, you would kill us, but you can't.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I can. Let's go for a ride, kid.
So, yeah, they, at this point, they basically head out to go back to Alexandria. Jesus is on top of the truck when they first show it.
Yes, and Jesus is like a ninja. But in that clip you just played, Carl has been with the group the whole time, and he knows the strength of the group. And I think he knows the strength of his daddy, and I think that fighting spirit he literally got from Rick, and it's still there in Rick. Like, honestly, you could see it periodically, which we said in previous episodes, raised up in him. And I think that Carl is like Rick at the end of the season when they was at that what's that place, that place that was eating people,
Terminus.
Yeah, so he was like, they don't know who they're fucking with. That's Carl right now. He was like, he basically told him to face, you don't know who you fucking with. If you were smart and intelligent, you would not let us live.
Yeah, I think saying that shit to Negan was incredibly stupid.
Yeah, and I didn't say it was smart.
Okay, I'm not arguing with you. But it's going to come back to haunt them. Like, he should not have done that. Like, he gets off on breaking people, and you just be like, we will not be broken. It's like, oh, okay, let's go back to your house and let's talk about this there. You know, so basically they roll up, and like you said, Jesus on top of the truck, then he just ain't. He's fucking David Copperfield out this motherfucker.
And I think Daryl seen them.
You think Daryl saw Jesus?
Yep. Okay. Because
it would make sense, because slaves saw Jesus to get free.
He was singing at him. He was like, yes, my child, I hear you calling. But he happened to, Daryl happened to look up at one period of time, and then Jesus was gone. So I'm not sure. I think Jesus still might be at the compound.
And maybe, I don't know. So then do you think Daryl was running interference for Jesus when he threatened Negan? Cause I think Negan said to Daryl, since you're so concerned, I'm just letting you know, we taking him back home. And then Daryl was like, you better not do anything to him. And then, Negan was like, Dwight, sounds like somebody needs to go back to the timeout room. And so they took him and threw him back in his cell.
That's a possibility. Either he's on the grounds or Jesus is such a ninja, you know, he can, you know, make a way out of no way and just be there anywhere. So he actually might be on the truck riding back with them.
Maybe. All I know is this, though. If he gets caught helping Carl, they definitely gonna know Hilltop working with, or mm-hmm. not definitely, but it puts a big possibility that they will figure out Hilltop worked with Alexandria.
Right.
So they really can't be caught together. Here's the other thing I was thinking too, though. So they send Daryl back to his room, his cell, and, you know, Negan flips him off. Jesus is gone from the roof. But someone slides a note under Daryl's door and unlocks it and leaves a note that says, go now. So if Jesus is in the truck on the way back to Alexandria, that couldn't have been him. Who do you think left a note under the door?
Whatchamacallit, Dwight's girlfriend, wife, whoever she is. I think she
Sherry?
Did. Yes, I think she did.
Okay, so you think it's Sherry. Uh-huh. What do you think happened, Miss Smart? Who do you think left that note for Daryl?
I think Jesus works in mysterious ways, so... I don't know, maybe he has an inside man or an inside woman. It could be Sherry that you know, did it, but yeah, it was a note, a key, and a match. Mm-hmm. I don't know, was he supposed to light the paper on fire? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Possibly Sherry.
So you think Sherry? Okay, all right. It's gonna be interesting, man, because I was at the time, I was like, maybe it's Jesus,
but he wouldn't know where he was.
I don't know. Mysterious ways.
Yeah, my ninja. Bad.
You act like you just didn't watch this nigga disappear out the top of a fucking truck in broad daylight.
I forgot he was Alpha and Omega. My bad.
Exactly. Wherever two or more gathered. So Daryl got this note. I don't know who sent it. If it's fucking Sherry, I think I would be more mad because, you know, last time she told him to go back to his cell. Now she ready for him to get out? I don't know.
Yeah, because it's for his protection. Because she literally told him, hey, they're going to fuck you up. But now she knows that Negan's actually off the property. And so other people went with him to protect him. So it's going to be a lot less security there. So her thing was like, if you going to bounce, now is the time to bounce.
Right. Okay. They get back to Alexandria. Negan and Carl go to the armory. Olivia is there. Which leads to another interesting scene. I actually have this one, as well. Let me see if I can put it on screen. But, Negan rolls up on Olivia. He's basically like, where's Rick? Olivia is nervous as fuck.
Of course. She almost died a day or two ago.
Yeah. He held her and talked to her. It was definitely planning on killing her ass. If the answers didn't go the way that he wanted to hear them. So let me see if I can put this on screen. Is it on screen, Karen?
Yes, it is.
Okay, awesome. but yeah, he was definitely gonna kill Olivia just a couple days ago. So, it's kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, how do I get back to the volume? There we go. Play.
Where's Enid's fine?
Great, 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 great! Where's Rick?
I'm...
Don't I'm just... care. Where's Rick?
Out scavenging for you.
Cool. I'll wait.
He went out pretty far. They might not be back today. We're running really low on everything. We're practically starving here.
Starving.
This nigga Jeffrey Dean Morgan's face. Priceless.
He was priceless. Like, word?
He was hamming it up so good in this scene. All right. At one point, like, you'll see it's coming up. It looks like he's looking at the camera. Hold on. Let me play it.
You. By practically, you mean not really.
Olivia starts crying. Look at this shit.
Really?
I swear to God, he was talking to us. I was in my house like, what?
He looking like, I really did do that, y'all.
Yeah, he was talking to Carl.
Yeah, he was talking to Carl.
You people seriously don't have a sense of humor. Excuse me. What's your name again?
Olivia.
Olivia. I am sorry for having been so rude to you just now. And it looks like I'm going to be here for a while, awaiting your fearless leader's return. And if you'd like, I think it would be enjoyable to screw your brains out. I mean, if, you know, you're agreeable to it.
She smacked him.
I am about 50% more into you now. All right, well, I'm just gonna put my feet up and wait for my stuff to get here. Olivia, would you be a lamb and make us a little lemonade? Now, I know I left y'all some of that good powdered stuff.
Well, I'm not supposed to be with you.
Make it. Take your time. Make it good.
Then he asked Carl to show him around. But by the way, I feel like all that's improv, the part about making some lemonade and shit, because I was like, how the fuck you intimidatingly asking for lemonade?
Right.
What? There's no way that was in the script. It's like, yeah, then ask for some lemonade and then just like really like give it to her, you know. Make it good.
Right.
Take your time.
Make it sweet. Yeah, he wasn't even scared of her trying to poison him or nothing.
And then they had a funny scene, man. It was such a, it's so weird to say this show is funny sometimes, but it'd be funny to me. The scene where Negan is being shown around Alexandria by Carl. And the motherfucker took his shoes off and was feeling the carpet on his feet.
Yes.
He was watching the water come out of the faucet. Wait, just water. Amazed. That was something else he did too.
Shooting them darts.
He shot darts and you can see all of the darts misses were all on the bottom left side because of Carl's eye.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Man, it was just so much little shit while I was like, and they were playing this really happy song in this montage. It was just, that shit had me dying when I rewatched it, man. And then eventually you get to a room where he's like, what's in this room? Carl's like, it's just the laundry room. They open it up and Judith's in there and there's no black man watching her.
Because mm-hmm. I don't think he knew about her.
Yeah, but where was the black man that's supposed to be watching her is what I want to know.
They always die.
Still walking back home.
Oh, okay. It must
that's
be
right,
he.
That's right. Her babysitter ain't made it back yet.
Well, I mean, they got that brown, that dude with the bald head that was like, what y'all doing taking our mm-hmm. stuff?
Oh, Sasha's real husband, her real life husband.
Yeah, why couldn't he be watching the baby?
He was
shirking his duties.
Hello,
Karen. What'd you say?
I said, you know, the preacher. You know, normally
Gabe was gone. Yeah, he was
normally would have strapped Judith on his back.
And right,
so she'd have been with him if he was on his duties.
Judith's getting big too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then it ends basically with. Oh wait, I think I had this scene too. This y'all. So this nigga, he's literally sitting on Rick's porch.
Talking about how much he loves
holding Judith.
He loves the suburbs.
Yeah. Thinking about should he thinking about killing Carl and Rick, and he's talking in baby talk. Man, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I don't know how people seriously they take The Walking Dead with the award shows, but he should win something, man. Like, you know, I hope I'm not alone in thinking that, but it just feels like he is murdering this motherfucking role, and he should be rewarded for at least a nomination or something. Because I mean, without him, I don't know that the show has any legs, you know. And I don't know that just anyone could do this role. And why are you, you know, like talking in baby talk about killing niggas to they little sister, you know, with them in earshot, you know, especially the little touch of the white dude walking by. He goes, "Hey neighbor, maybe come over and grill." That's Rosita fucking with that one bullet.
Thank you.
Oh wait, this what?
I'm sorry for what I said.
I reject that.
When are we gonna get to the baby killer?
No. The words, but not the intent. You're sounding sincere, but it's just a flea circus. You got what you wanted. This is just you for that, not saying that you didn't mean what you said. You meant it.
Oh, here we go. I'm gonna skip forward to the part with Neen, because I don't care about these niggas. We already talked about them. I love me some Eugene, but you know what I'm saying. Just. Mm-hmm. That's not what's relevant to this point.
This girl is precious.
Hey, neighbor. Why don't you come by later? You might grill out.
Dick.
Oh, I like it here. I might just have to stay here. Now, I was thinking about what you said earlier, Carl. Maybe it is stupid keeping you and your dad alive. I mean, why am I trying so hard? Maybe I should just bury you both down in one of those flower beds. Huh? And I could just settle into the suburbs. What do you think about that?
Then he kissed Judah. And I feel like maybe it's only a black thing, but him kissing that baby made me so enraged.
Yes, it was disgusting, right? Like, how many miles has his been on, and what kind of herpes has he given that baby on the face?
Right? You got a fucking, you got a house full of woes, and you out here just kissing other people's babies? That's not okay on any level, dog. Mm-hmm. That ain't your baby. So, yeah, that freaked me out. What are you guys looking forward to next week?
Go ahead, Karen.
I gotta start saying y'all's names. I gotta stop doing that. That's my fault. As a host, that I should have picked this up. All right, what are y'all looking forward to next week, Miss Smart?
I'm looking for all the pieces trying to come together. Like, I'm looking for a spark in Rick's eyes. I'm looking for everybody to like form up like Voltron. At a same level of rage, and you know, start thinking straight and putting a plan in place.
Okay. Yeah, I know we, I mean, I feel like he's such a weird character because he's so charismatic. I mean, he's he's almost like, and he's taking a shine to Carl, where it's almost like a cool uncle that gives you beer and lets you look at titties at his house. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's so fucking evil. He bashing Glenn and Abe's heads, and it's affecting the whole crew. Karen, what are you looking forward to next week?
See what happened to Rick and them, Rick and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we look like we might get some scenes from like other locations. Like it might be like almost like a bounce around next thing in the time. So it might be a bounce around.
Yeah, it's 90 minutes again next week.
Right, and I've actually been enjoying the long my opinion the longer episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, and it's going to be interesting to see, like Miss Smart say. Something's going to happen. It's going to be a catalyst to put that spark back in Rick's eye. I think once he realizes the world is larger, it's going to get to going. I'm excited. I think the second half is when we actually get into the uprising against him.
Here's what I'm anticipating next week. And this is a crazy theory. I don't know that it's going to happen. This is just a guess or whatever. I think Rosita's gonna try to kill him or something, and it ain't gonna work. And I think he gonna kill that baby. And I think Rick's gonna get back just in time to see that Judith dead, and then it's gonna be, we gotta fucking kill Negan. I think that's the only thing that makes sense, because like, what else can they lose that will actually make Rick again?
True.
You know, I was trying to think of just like, I don't know. Look, this is a crazy harebrained theory. I'm not saying, I have no fucking reason to suspect it. You know, looking at the clips from last week, I noticed that Andrew Lincoln had his serious cry face on, like,
yeah, so
huge,
you know,
tears.
Dramatic happened.
So you, yeah, and I noticed that there was a part where you could see blood on Negan's shirt. So
right, but he also shaved. Negan also shaved. So I was thinking, okay, maybe he hadn't shaved in a while and cut himself a few times.
Okay, it could be that. You know, I don't know, man. It just feel like there's got to be something dramatic that happens in this break,
right, and they
where we
it.
Come back, where we that makes us want to come back to the second half of the season. Like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's get information.
Right, and you know, I see people in the chat, y'all, they've killed kids before, so this is not,
I mean, they killed Lizzie.
Right, so they killed Carol's little boy.
Yeah, they killed Carol's little daughter.
I mean, her daughter. They killed Carol's daughter.
Yeah.
They killed Sam.
So,
you know,
yeah,
they've killed children. So killing children is not off the table.
Yeah, it just feels like something got to happen.
Right.
I don't know. It just feel like that's, I mean, it's a crazy theory, guys. Y'all don't got to agree with me. I understand. If it don't happen, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, this show is, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, that was a crazy theory for me to think. But it just feel like something major got to happen. I mean, other than like Michonne and Carl, who else does Rick care about enough? You know, and maybe it would be Michonne or Carl. I don't know, but somebody got to take an L to make this shit, you know, something bad got to happen to somebody. Cause if not, I just can't see Rick being a cuck the whole second half of the season.
I don't. Yes, something's going to happen and he going to snap. And when he snaps, they're going to get information and my prediction is that it's going to get to some type of a war.
Eventually, I mean, it's the only, well, that's not even, I mean, we know it's got to take that to beat them. They're that big. But yeah, I don't know, man. That's what I'm guessing, because I don't know. Something major got to happen in this finale. Okay. We do have emails, and the emails are brought to you by Loot Crate. Of course, lootcrate.com/TVGWT is where you go so that you can subscribe, and put in code TVGWT and you can get $3 off, for less than $20. I'm sorry, you say something smart?
Oh no.
Okay. For less than $20 a month, you can get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one of a kind items, and more. Just sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time in order to subscribe and receive this month's crate. And of course, this month the theme is revolution. Okay. They're always watching. They've designed a system to keep you down. They're meddlesome. Hello friends, it's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, including an exclusive Funko Pop figure and the monthly t-shirt and pin. Just saying, this is the month Rogue One comes out, talking about rebellion and revolution. You might want to hop on this box, man. Get you something nice for Christmas, all right? Let's check out these lootcrate.com/TVGWT, code TVWT. All right, let's go ahead and check out the emails. Greg writes in, hey, Rod, Karen, and guest. After watching episode 7, I had a question I was wondering about that you might have caught as well. I noticed that in the stairwell, Sherry is smoking a cigarette with Dwight. I don't know the significance, but the note that was slid under Daryl's door said, go now, conveniently had a match attached to it. Could it have been Sherry who put it under the door after telling Dwight they weren't doing anything and she's got a plan? Maybe. I mean, that's what Karen thinks. So maybe she did that. Maybe Dwight did it. I don't know. I mean, could it be that he, I don't know. I couldn't picture him breaking. He's such a fucking dick. I don't know, man. I'll be as surprised as y'all, but I think it's probably either Sherry or Jesus. Mm-hmm. Also, in that end of that episode, Jesus seen laying on top of the truck. Negan is taken back to Alexandria. Now this seems strange because at the beginning of the episode, there were lookouts all over Negan's compounds, but how is nobody sees this? Thanks, y'all, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Jesus is a ninja.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Jesus and everybody seen him at the same time? Exactly. That's how.
Ah.
Bundles, Walking Dead recap. This is by our girl, Notorious EVE. Hi Karen and Rod. First off, let me say good for you in the manner in which you handled that troll. I tip my hat to both of you. See what I did there? Tip, LOL. Now about this hashtag daywalking, I thoroughly enjoyed the episode. I had many observations. Why is it that only his one eye is called, with his only one eye is called a better shot than Michonne? Well, he did have a lot shorter of a distance to shoot those guys.
Yeah, they was literally right in front of him, and they're bigger target than that circle.
As long as Negan wasn't standing down and to the left, he was safe.
Ah!
Carl took out two dudes with one eye and poor aim, and my girl couldn't get that one slow-moving walker. Come on, writers, give my girl something to win. And at this point, I'm convinced that Rosita has decided that death by blaze of glory is going to be how she exits the show. She is a woman possessed. That whole scene with Judith had me feeling tight. Won't be seeing you in season 8. Maybe if Rosita dies, maybe Rick will care, but I don't know. Somebody gotta die. Mm-hmm. Lastly, I want to talk about that major plot hole. So Negan had a black wife. Did y'all peep homegirl's hair? It was laid. Was that Indian Remy 1B? you know what's funny, man? There's no Walking Dead recap that got this many black women talking about weave on it. There's no fucking way, guys. We gotta have the best recap.
Use some gel on them edges.
we going to Walker Stalker Con. We got accepted as press.
Yay!
And it's in Charlotte. And I think we get to interview certain people and shit.
I'm so excited.
I'm going to try to slip something in there about this hair, y'all. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. To slide something in there like, well, now how did y'all fix the heat hair technology with that bandana last year or something, you know? What kind of weave was it that Negan's black wife had? I noticed she was in there. we don't know that. Anyway, so how do they know what her? Oh, she says, where did they get her bundles? It's the Z-Pac. Did Negan send people out to get her these bundles? Mm-hmm. How did they know what her color was? Also, she looked to be the only black wife up in there. Who did the install? Does she have to rely on one of the white girls who greased her scalp? Mm-hmm. How far does Negan's generosity go? Is he getting cocoa butter too?
I bet you he is.
I mean, you seen them legs? He definitely getting some cocoa butters up in there.
And we can improvise for us. You get some olive oil, we good to go.
Put some shea butter, you know, use it for your hair and your skin if you got to. And how many were lost in pursuit of keeping the black wife happy? How, Sway, how? These are the questions that we need answered. I beg you for your thoughts. I'm surprised she wasn't running things.
Right. You know, and she might be.
On the low, she might just be smart enough not to be talking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that awesome recap, guys. Yours truly, Notorious EVE. Oh, and it's fuck Dwight till he dies and after. Being a black woman in there might be cool just because, you know, white dudes will often be like we used to do this porn exchange for Wing Night, and it would always be like, oh, you got to get the freaky porn. And every once in a while, some white dude would just bring regular ass black porn. And I'd be like, how is this in the freaky section? This is black sex. What's freaky about this?
Right, that's normal ass sex.
Yeah, like every other porn was like, you know, oh, this is like women putting on dildos and having sex with the dude, you know, or something like, yeah, just something where you like,
different.
You know, like, oh, this is little people having sex or something. And then it'd be like, and I also got Booty Talk 7. I'm like, nigga, that's not, it gotta at least have a theme. You couldn't even got In Love and Color or something? Like, come on, man. This is terrible.
Be creative.
Day Walking recap, Jabari writes saying, good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Number One on Podomatic and Miss Smart. Hey. Another great episode from The Walking Dead. I appreciate the writers focusing on these solo adventures from week to week. I wonder if there is any correlation between them focusing on one community per episode with them making any sort of deliberate decision to try a different style of storytelling with the show. I've seen some online vocalization from fans. They want more of a traditional blended episodes, and this was closer to the norm. But if they were willing to wait weeks for the Glen and Dumpster Gate, they can wait a few more weeks to circle back to Hilltop and Kingdom. It might be turning into, you bring up Game of Thrones, it might be kind of turning into what Game of Thrones does, mm-hmm. where it's just too many, you can't get to every place now. Mm-mm. Like once you introduce 5-6 places, I mean.
It might be a week where you focus on one, it might be weeks where you bounce around, it might be a week where you might focus on two.
I mean, can you have compelling stories in each place at the same time and tell the same amount of story? I don't know that it's possible, you know, and that's with them increasing the show to 90 minutes. For a lot of these episodes, which you pretty much need now,
right, in order
to move elements forward a little bit in some places while you're moving forward a lot in others. So mm-hmm. I don't know, I think it's just gonna be kind of like this for a while. Besides, those tiger graphics and animatronics aren't cheap. JDM has been slaying this role as Negan. I love his deliberate cadence when delivering punchlines and quips. Yeah, he cracks himself up, and that's yes. almost scarier.
That's what I do, so hey.
There's so much, and I am scared of you. That's true. There's so much gravitas in each of his scenes. Can we talk about young Death Wish, aka Carl Grimes? Oh yeah, young C. Murder Jr. was up in there. Mm-hmm. He ran up on the Savers like those robbers did and held up. No plan, no escape plan, and making demands with no leverage. First of all, you watched Held Up? You the other dude that watched that? Because I watched it in the theater, and
you the other dude.
I wanted to slap Jamie Foxx after that joint was over. Do you think that character's plan is more motivated by revenge for Glenn and Abe than to protect Judith? Seems like Rick is selling out, committing all the way to preserving the group, and Carl is trying to his damnedest to get everyone knocked off. He knows there are consequences to every slight against Negan, but for whatever reason, Carl keeps acting like he's the only one that's going to die if he bucks up. I'm surprised he didn't take a swing at Negan when he made Carl carry Lucille. Let's see. I mean, he's younger. He's a teen. Maybe he hasn't thought it through.
He didn't have a plan. His plan was just to come.
He's just angry. Die. He did say that he wasn't doing this shit for Glenn and Abe. He just wanted revenge. Here's what, low key, this is what I think. And maybe this is getting too deep for the show. I don't know. I think everybody that's trying to kill Negan, Rosita, Michonne, Carl, all of them are doing it because they want to get Rick back. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
sense.
They feel like if we kill the dude that humbled our leader, he won't have a choice but to get back to being a leader again rather than this dude's bitch. Mm-hmm. You know? At least, cause it's all, you know,
it's like trying to get his attention.
Right? Yeah. Cause all the people that are trying to kill Negan all believe in Rick, and yeah, Rick is telling them not to do it. And they're like, that's not what you really need. You need to be you again. And that means killing this nigga. So I don't know. That's how it seems. Like Michonne obviously still loves Rick. Carl loves his dad. Rosita believes in Rick the way she defends him to Spencer. Yep. But yet they're all going against his wishes and being like, how do I find a way to kill this nigga?
Yep. Oh, and speaking of that, it's gonna be interesting because like they're going in two separate directions. Like Michonne is actually going and Negan ain't there.
Mm-hmm.
And Negan's back at where, like if she'd have stayed where she was, she'd have seen him.
That's why I hope she don't die, man. I just hope it ain't some shit where they like bring her in as a surprise, like, and we got her outside the gate or some shit, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, so he also goes on to say, lastly, oh wait, he goes, Carl keeps acting like he's the only one in Bucks. I'm surprised he didn't take a swing at Negan, Karen. Speaking of, did Carl's mama sing that song before Carl killed her in the prison? I can't remember if she sang You Are My Sunshine or not. Lastly, listen, if you want me to remember things about Lori Grimes other than how she died, I don't have much for you.
Me either.
God, I hated her. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Lastly, Michonne the goat in that car with this, when that savior tried to pull a fast one. Michonne looked at that lady, looked at her like, this is the lady the Lord made. This is the day the Lord made, but not the day for you to try. Shout out to What's the T? Keep up the great work, y'all. Have a good one.
Right, you're gonna fuck her up. She's like, try it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think yeah, she knew that woman voted for Trump, so she knew not to Trump. Yeah, you won the 53%, ma'am. P.S. Please, please let that troll try and bring a lawsuit. I will gladly volunteer my legal services to y'all for that plum foolishness. Yeah, we have had several people offer to work pro bono if dude wants to take it there. So I don't think he want to take it there. Mm-mm. Although I hate to even mention this on the show, but he did create another fake account this morning,
pretending to be a
pretend not on Twitter. Email account, pretend email me pretending to be a journalist. Mm-mm. That had dealt with harassment before and thought that, you know, we shouldn't have handled it how we handled it. Mm-hmm. Even though this journalist I googled, no pieces,
don't exist,
never wrote anything,
never wrote an article.
It's quite never wrote our show before, although she listens several times a week.
Okay,
but interestingly enough, never wrote article. I couldn't even Google her, but she says she gets harassed a whole lot, y'all.
How, when nobody knows? Well,
yeah. Interesting. Okay. I was just like, man, I don't want to talk about this. If you stop emailing me, I won't. Like, I'm really over this. As long as you promise to leave me alone, just leave it alone. You act like I'm gonna do this every day. I don't care that much.
Nope.
Our show was number one without you. That's the point. We don't have to stoop to these kind of antics to be number one. We just do our thing and people like it and laugh and they fucking share it and all that good stuff.
Yep.
What the fuck you want? I don't want to make, this isn't helping my, is this some kind of publicity stunt? It's not helping us. Come on, man. Just please leave us alone. It's nothing left. Like if it makes you feel better, you quote unquote win. If that's how you feel. Cause if the point is you don't want to talk about it, good. Cause we don't want to. So leave us alone, keep our name out your mouth, and don't disrespect my wife. That's all. It's very simple. Eve writes in, hi Rod, Karen, and Miss Smart.
Hey.
I think this episode was one of the best of the season. There were so many gems. First of all, Fetty Carr was ready to risk it all to kill Negan.
Yeah, he was.
Yo, that's what I meant to say. I gotta give him credit. The Negan Carr interaction delivered. It was so good.
Did. Yeah.
Just because it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, man. Them other dudes, they cool, but they can't fuck with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, man.
He be acting his ass off.
Yeah, that Trevor ass nigga from Hilltop Dude, like, he was cool. He ain't no Negan, dog.
Nah, he ain't no Negan.
Like, when he's on the screen, it just changes everything, man.
Charisma, dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, like, in good and bad ways, because, like, sometimes I feel sick to my stomach when he's talking, because I'm like, what kind of sick shit are you about to do, man?
And you know what? I'm like, he goes from, like you say, zero to Negan so quick. It's almost he turns it on and turns it off.
Yeah.
Till he'll be talking and then all of a sudden he'll switch almost like immediately. Like,
right.
Like something will provoke or something will happen or he don't like your tone. And next thing you know, you're getting your face ironed and you don't know why.
You can be laughing with him and then he's just like, shut the fuck up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but yeah, that interaction was so good.
It was.
And you know, shout out to Carl, because he was saying all the stupid shit that gave Negan just the alley-oops to keep dunking on his ass.
When are people gonna learn you never buck up, you just make a plan? Like people that are, but that's part of being a teenager, because teenagers are dumb. That's a part of being a teenager.
And he's emotional. They killed two of his friends and his dad isn't making a plan. So motherfuckers trying to do it by themselves, you know? I don't know, man. It just feels like I might have to add Negan to my list of people you never have an argument in public with.
Oh, no.
Obviously, gay black men is number one. Black women coming in at number two. Might have to slide Negan in at three. He just be handing out L's, man. If you say some shit to him and he'd be like, I like that you said that. Like, well, damn, you know, I thought I hurt your feelings. So yeah, he made Carl cry like two times, man. You don't play. So yeah, but the list is real. Y'all better be careful who y'all arguing with.
Y'all know y'all fucking with somebody, they been embarrassed the hell out of you.
Some people whole lives have been so much people against them that at a moment's notice they could say something that your soul will close up. You won't even know what happened. Everybody be laughing at you. He's like, what happened? Oh, nigga was arguing in public with a black woman, man. He thought it was gonna be real, and no it didn't work out for him.
I'm trying to tell you, people that are oppressed, honey, they'll crush your soul, because you know what, they ain't got nothing to lose. What the fuck you gonna do to them today that hadn't already happened?
Mm-hmm. Especially in a war of words, it's a wrap. I remember one time I was playing basketball with this dude, and he was like, he was a gay dude, and he came to the court in some motherfucking church shoes and lit niggas up. They was laughing at him and shit on the sideline, man. He got on that court and he was bawling. It was like, what the fuck? Like,
they was in the Twilight Zone, didn't they?
Man, he was kicking their ass, and he was just like, get up, slap. Get up, slap. I was like, damn, he kicking their ass. I was like, I'm glad I wasn't joking. I ain't had no jokes on the sideline. That's the beauty of being open minded. I was on the side like, what if he could ball? Then he could ball. I was like, I told y'all niggas, get him.
Right, because anybody can ball. Don't let looks deceive you.
Right.
Yep.
And the same thing with women, man. You know, the women's basketball team used to come out to the court, and not only would they win, but they'll be fouling the shit out of you too. And then if you said something, they'd be like, why are you acting like a little bitch? So you gonna call a foul on a girl? And you're like, you scratched my eye out, I can't see. So you gotta be careful, man. You can't just be talking to everybody. And now Negan's also on the list of people I don't talk shit to. So he says, Eve says, first of all, Fetty calls over risk it all, kill Negan. But I think that what held him back was seeing how Negan kept those deplorables in line. I think he realized that if he kills Negan, there will be absolutely no one holding back the rape, pillage, and molesting. In this weird way, Negan is a bit of a savior. He is the only dude those guys listen to. So apparently, Negan is down with the swirl. Everybody knows the same thing. His black wife hair was laid.
Yes!
I don't know how we can't name this show something about them bundles. I hope her hairdresser can get in contact with Michonne and Heath, because she was definitely a dime. In my opinion, she made the rest of his wives look basic as fuck. Agreed. Speaking of Negan's wives, Sherry is a big piece of crap, as big a piece of crap as Dwight. I'm not sure if she ratted Amber and Mark out, but she certainly confirmed Negan's suspicions. Her and Dwight can just burst into flames for all I care, and that kiss was vomit inducing. Hey man, I think her and Dwight got the same. That's why they said, when she said we made the deal, I think they got the same attitude. We gonna be his slaves, then we gonna be fucking Steven from Django. Like, be slaves. Be 100%. Like, it's like Ben Carson. You know, if you gonna be working with the Republicans, then don't just be a house Negro. Be the housing urban development Negro, okay?
Right.
You get in there and get that title, sir.
So sad.
It is so sad. He was our hero. We learned about him in school. Why? Oh, we can't have nothing. She says, maybe I'm dead wrong, but I laughed my ass off in the scene with Negan and Olivia when he was acting, asking how could she be starving when she was a big girl. His facial expressions were priceless. Damn, JDM is good. Oh well, shit, if you just heard this show, then you know we laughed at it too. His timing was great. And when she slapped the shit out of him, he said he was 50% more into her. I laughed again.
Me too.
That was the highlight of the night. I love it that this season the women are getting in formation. Rosita, Maggie, Sasha, and Michonne are not here for Negan's bullshit, and they will fight, waiting for Carol to get in formation and shut this shit down. It will be epic. Why did Negan have to kiss Judith on the mouth? Gross, right? I was hoping she would pull a Maggie Simpson and take his ass out. Can't wait for the mid-season finale next week. I don't really listen to a ton of White People Walking Dead podcasts, but I almost want to listen to them this week, because I feel like, one, we the only ones that brought up them bundles.
I listened to one, and yeah, they didn't say anything about the, yeah, no, they didn't notice.
Mm-hmm. And I doubt they was on, I wonder if they was as disgusted by him kissing that baby on the mouth.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, see, that's Black people shit. Mm-hmm. like, you kiss a who, baby, you kiss on the mouth.
Where your mouth been? That's the first question you're gonna get asked. Where
that ain't your family been? That ain't your family, yeah. Dog. Not to mention babies be carrying all kinds of germs too.
Right.
Like, if that ain't your family, you do not be kissing on no babies, man. Come on, dog. In the mouth too, not on the forehead. Jeff Dean Moore, you an acting ass nigga, dog. You made me mad this week. You listening to shit, man? You good. You are good. All right, man. Thank y'all so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Miss Smart, thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Smart.
No problem. It was a delight.
Came through with the sickness, the Jordan flu game, off the bench, just blat out. We really do appreciate it. Chat room, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget, Karen's getting some dental work done on Thursday. So I don't know when the show will be back. Like, it won't be, it'll be at least 3 or 4 days. So it won't be a feedback show and all that stuff. Hopefully that troll dude will think that the show is completely off the air and just leave us alone. We still will have a Balls Deep in the morning and next week, and we'll still get some of the premium shows popping. But yeah, Karen is gonna be down, so we won't be doing the show, regular show. All right, guys, until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.